And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms or restrictions apply.
What's up?
Hello.
Welcome back to Spin Rate. My name is Drew Fairservice. We are here talking about your Toronto Blue Jays on the Athletics Toronto Blue Jays podcast. As you may have noticed, if you had an eye on your feed, we've gone to two shows a week. This is the midweek show. Just me. Well, not just me, but no Caitlin McGrath this week. She's hard at work penning the stories that you're reading on The Athletic about the Toronto Blue Jays and much, much more. But we're excited. We're excited to talk about your Toronto Blue Jays. We're excited to talk about the things that are happening in the short and in the long, in the small and in the big. And I'm excited to welcome a guest this week, someone to join me and carry the show. Quite frankly, he is a person I'm proud to call a friend. His name is Andrew Zuber. He's the host of Sportsfeld and one of the hosts of Wrestling Brain on Twitch. Mr. Zuber, thank you so much for taking the time.
Somebody say Wrestling Brain?
I think they did. Sportsfeld, he's co-host of Wrestling of Sportsfeld. I don't mean to do Jake
sure.
dirty.
Well, I mean, he was just on Toronto Mike, and that was the only thing he'd ever done in his life that didn't make the tweet. They're like Jake from Columbia House Party with Blake and from the Drake music video and from Years of Degrassi. Like, he was on stage as Chip in Beauty and the Beast. Like, they gave the whole IMDb and then didn't mention Sportsfeld once. It's fine. Only been a couple of years. Drew, I'm thrilled to be here. I can't tell if your idea is you're setting expectations low or you want to get the bottom of the list out of the way first. But I'm thrilled to be involved as a guest.
We always have lots of fun. When you're on, you and I have fun. We've kind of talking a little bit off air. We've been at this for a long time. We've seen a lot of iterations of the Toronto Blue Jays, and the 2021 Blue Jays are kind of fun to root for. I don't know. There seems like there's fewer sore spots. Not none, yeah. as we yeah. found this week when the Blue Jays were playing in Texas, that it is not a perfect roster. But I think that, I guess that's where I kind of want to start, which is, like, what do you think about this 2021 Blue Jays team? Are you expecting a playoff appearance? Are you hoping for a playoff experience? Do you at least have like good vibes about the team? Where are you when it comes to having your eye on this Blue Jays club?
First and foremost, immaculate vibes so far. It's funny you mentioned sort of that expectation and. You know, that there are rough spots, but the rough spots, and I was actually just talking about this with Jake on Sportsfeld, it's sort of as nice is the things that are maybe concerning that maybe are you would like to smooth out are relatively fixable things. Like it's the back end of the rotation, the middle of rotation too, but sort of back end rotation guys, and then you'd like to have upgrades 7, 8, 9, right? Maybe there's some small things you do, but the big pieces, the big things, the things you really worry about, which is like Vladdy being a very good player and Ryu being a good investment and the general direction when you look at the bigger picture of where they were 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 1 year ago, and now it all makes sense and it all seems like it's going in the right direction. And that part of it is exciting. I am, as you sort of pointed out there with we've seen a lot of iterations. I am one that has fallen for almost every version of this team. If you had messaged me in 2011, I'd have been like, yeah, this is it. Laurie from Markham, that is what they needed to do. And then I would have said the same thing in 2012 and the same thing in 13 and the same thing in 15. And it feels good. I like to be that sort of optimist. There, of course, as you said, are warts. But generally right now, I'm thrilled to be watching the style of baseball that we are. And my expectations in terms of it being a playoff team or not, I expect it to be interesting, which is sort of a cop-out. But they're going to be interesting. And the real thing that gives me hope and makes me think it's a playoff team is that there's no big bad wolf team in the American League. There's no team that I'm looking at in the AL and being like, oh, they got to overhaul the roster to compete with blank, right? It's like there's some good teams, but nobody's so far ahead that you can't picture them making one or two moves and being right there. So that part of it, it's exciting.
I don't know about you, but when I think about the 2021 Blue Jays and where they are and the progression, as you mentioned, I feel like there is competence at play, and it doesn't feel foolish to be like, well, if this goes right and this goes right and this goes right, they could be there. I don't know what you think, but it doesn't feel to me like there are so like the it's not a house of cards. This isn't a house that's been built on sand, as they would say. I mean, the kind of one wave of young players is ready, and there are obviously it will be steps forward, steps back, you know, non-linear progression as whatever we want to say, but there are options as well where, you know, early in the season, Rowdy Tellez has looked rough, but like if they need to Rowdy to take a step back, and some there are multiple options for guys that can step in and do that job, or people can shift around and they can sort of make it work. If Rowdy Tellez is struggling, they can find somebody else to get those DH at bats. If Lourdes Gurriel is struggling, they can figure a way around that. The pitching staff is one that's built on depth. Outside of Ryu, there's not really anybody in the rotation or staff member 2 through 15 who is truly irreplaceable. So I think that that the idea that the Blue Jays had a plan and like seeing it come into focus is kind of like, okay, I can get with this. Like this could work.
Yeah, I think a great example of that is Randal Grichuk, who, when you look at sort of the role and the amount of importance that he has played to this team in the last 3 years, so you sort of chart his importance to where the team is, where it was a couple of years ago, it was like, he's the guy that they see that they are going to invest in. And then last year, it was like, man, the outfield is close, but it's hard to bank on Grichuk doing this for the entire season. And then this year, it's like, it's perfect in that while Springer is out, you have that luxury. And if Springer is back, you are looking at it and you're like, okay, now we have four guys that can cycle through here, versus before he had to play center field because Alan Hansen and Socrates Brito were playing right field. It's sort of how quickly that changes, and sort of that charting his course of importance for me has sort of been that really easily traceable line of competence as you use it. That is measurable in the bottom part of the lineup, in the fringes of the roster. I think he's sort of a great example of that, because he's been playing very well, and it's like if he's going to go on those hot streaks that we see him go on, he should do it while Springer isn't available. So it's just like it sort of is working out in that way. So yeah, and that picture coming into focus is a really great way to put it. I think I'm drinking the Robbie Ray is actually good Kool-Aid, because I haven't seen him pitch, and that's all. The best thing you can do is not actually pitch in front of me. But yeah, I think Ray is the thing, and you know, I'm a Manoah truther as well, and I think they're also, you have to love transactions, of course. I think they're so perfectly positioned to play just well enough to be a really exciting transaction team, which is all I need in the late summer. All I need is for them to be like, oh, they need a third baseman and another pitcher. And it's like, oh, the market has as many of those as I could possibly want. What a glorious thing.
There, in some ways, there is no like greater, what's the word, the saying about like the true measure? Refuge of the damned, essentially, is trade rumors or trade ideas. And then there you and I were today. Like, I was honestly like, looking, I'm like cooking up Joey Gallo trades by looking at which Blue Jays prospects are from Texas, and I was like, these are the two that you can buy the Rangers off with this. Like, this send these two good old boys back home, and off you go. But I think that this speaks to something that is a little bit different than some of the teams that we've lived through together online and in real life and through jobs and hobbies and whatever, which is like, sure, maybe the 2011 Blue Jays would have liked to have been good, and the 2017 Blue Jays were kind of like, gee, hope this doesn't just fall apart all at once, and then it happened. Where like this Blue Jays team has not only kind of been built to win and has been built in a logical way, that competently, as we said, but it's so nice to have a team that is like trying to win and isn't going to, you know, throw everything out the window in an attempt to win. But you get the sense by some of the moves that have been made in terms of signing George Springer and signing Hyunjin Ryu, but also, you know, with Alejandro Kirk making the team and being willing to risk losing, you know, Reese McGuire, and the kind of games, the rostery games that get played seem to be taking a bit of a back seat, which comes back to that earlier point I made, which is if a player who isn't, you know, one of five or six guys isn't performing, that guy's going to be not out of a job, but fighting for a job, because they're going to do what it takes to put a winning club on the field. And, you know, coming off a series against the Texas Rangers, where Rangers fans were openly, during their home opener, a guy who's a very prominent Rangers fan was wondering aloud about who they're going to draft in the June next year after they finish last this year, which is such a bummer. To me, that's no way to live, right? I'd rather be like, I hope, how can they make this team better? And what's it going to take to make this team better between, you know, fantastical trade proposals, but also might be time to slide this guy down in the order because they need to win ball games.
Yeah, it's thrilling. It's thrilling how quickly we're able to get here. And that sort of is, as our close personal friend Ross grabbed his extension, good timing on that. So I agree. It's all you can really hope for. Just the sign that they are in, that they are trying, that this is a year that will be a step in a direction towards being a contender. Whether it is that, how big that step is sort of up for determination. But I think that also sort of helps. I'll use Tanner Rourke, for example. It's sort of, not that it makes those starts easier to sit through, but, you know, for me, it's like Tanner Rourke comes out and looks like dog water. You're like, well, he's only going to get a chance to do this two or three more times before he's gone. Whereas like a couple of years ago, he'd even like, well, he's signed for 2 years, 24. So I guess get used to it. It's that sort of frames everything differently. And, you know, there can be some downsides. We won't disclose the full text chains about Kevin Biggio that people are having in secret because we don't want to be party poopers. But he's a guy who very quickly, you know, everyone is noticing. The lights are on. You know, people have their eyeballs. And every little flaw goes from, you know, a guy like that goes from a pleasant surprise to, okay, we're counting on you. And major league third baseman is a different job than guy who is showing up and stealing the second base job. They're two totally different things. And that discussion is going to be had, and those conversations are going to be had. And it's going to be very interesting because, you know, the candy store eyes get a little crazy thinking about third baseman that could slid into this lineup personally.
We'll be right back with more Spin Rate. But first, check this out.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I'm glad you brought up the Ross Atkins extension, which, again, if we were maybe on a straight news tip, that would be something that we would be kind of leading with. But in terms of as a transaction creator, do you hold our close personal friend Ross Atkins in high esteem?
I think he's done some. There's a lot of moves that have been pretty clear wins. We look at the moves that got you Teoscar Hernandez, for example. The stuff on the fringes is sort of has been hit and miss. I've done a very good job with relievers, flipping those relievers. There's been some waiver churn guys that hasn't been great, but I think, you know, the moves that have been to make the team win now have both been moves that I understood completely. You understand completely how Springer fits in. It was very easy to see in the offseason. They could use a center fielder, they could use a top of the lineup guy, and they went and got it. And then it was very easy to see that next was like, you could use middle infield help that makes everybody move down a spot in the lineup, and they went out and got it. So I trust him to be very aware that third base is a place that can be upgraded and that they need more pitching. Like, you know what I mean? It's not rocket science. And I'm not trying to, you know, I like Biggio, and I'm not saying he doesn't have a place in the team. I just don't think that's the third baseman when they're a contender every day. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
I would tend to agree. I think that the kind of fringier lottery ticket moves, nobody hits on all of those. That's what makes them those kind of moves. And if it was a slam dunk, then everyone would be doing it if it was that easy. There have been some challenges. No one has a perfect record. I think that if you are, unless you have a significant axe to grind, you know, the recent moves towards making the team better, as well as, you know, maybe if you were more of a prospect hugger, you could probably look to their realization that last year's team, there wasn't going to be a reasonable upgrade that wasn't going to cost an arm and a leg, as they kind of limped towards the playoffs and didn't exactly storm in as the team to beat in October. So maybe there's credit there for having that kind of foresight, or at least being conservative in a way, in terms of when was going to be the time to kind of make those commitments. I think that the player, you know, Ross Atkins is a piece of the larger organizational puzzle and the organizational philosophy that they like to expound upon. I think we're kind of seeing it, but at the same time, for every, you know, the Randall Grichuk's and even Teoscar Hernandez, something I've said before is that they brought these guys in on their potential or on the tools, and they've kind of just been who they've always been. Which is, I don't know, necessarily an indictment of the general manager, but, you know, you can see that they are at very least productive players, but not necessarily reaching that like 95th percentile outcome. So I don't think it's a bad deal for the Blue Jays. I don't know. I think that most fans and most people who are like us kind of think about Shapiro and Atkins in a package deal. It'd be unusual to see Shapiro stay, but then make a move for a different general manager. But I don't know. It's not the worst news if you're a Blue Jays fan, that's for sure.
And let's not forget the long-term con game that was Josh Donaldson versus Julian Merriweather. The seven-dimensional chess, the super galaxy made you look fuck around and find out deal that was Julian Merriweather for Josh Donaldson. Forget about it.
I can't believe that, and I talked about this last week, but I can't believe that there's so much attention suddenly brought, oh, the Jays might win this deal after all. Jays look like they stole one from Cleveland. Like, my guy did not pitch for two full years. Anyway.
Got him coming and going, Drew. You got it both ways.
You got to have it every way possible. It's a win. It's a win for the good guys. Then we should talk about this, because again, we're talking about a team that does have some expectations to win, and a term that you used online a few weeks ago about me Biggio pilling you.
I hate you for this. You don't understand how much Kevin Biggio got me through like dark times in the last 2 years, where I was like, yeah, Vlad's hitting the ball straight into the ground. And Bo has been hurt in both the years he's been up, but man, that Kevin Biggio takes his walks and does his job at second base, and you want to show him your dad, like your dad to him, you know what I mean? And like, check out this ball player, dad. And he's like, yeah, that's my kind of guy. And then this year, before the season even starts, you're like, actually, he's bad. And then I get my first look at him all year long, and I'm like, oh no, he can't hit, he can't throw. What have you done to me?
Well, so it is worth discussing, because Kevin Biggio does a lot of things well. He does have a good sense of the strike zone, which has been shown over his, you know, the rate at which he's drawn walks during the parts of two different seasons that he's been now three in the big leagues. If you look at his numbers across what is now, I believe, 162, 163 game a career, he's like a four-win guy, which you can't take away from him. He's been a very productive big leaguer, but the question marks around him are are real. The questions, the uncertainty, the fact that the Blue Jays have like repeatedly kind of like gotten people to do his job and moved him around, which that versatility is a credit to him. But at the same time, you're doing it, I'm doing it, and you have to feel like the club is probably doing it too, being like, is there an upgrade at third base out there? Is there somebody else who can do this job a little bit better? And then I think in the early going of the season, it's only been a week, it'd be fools to be overreacting or to be giving into the confirmation bias that has me just deleting tweet after tweet after tweet all week long. But, you know, we've seen him try to be a bit more aggressive and kind of struggling. And then there was an opportunity or game earlier today here on Wednesday where he struck out looking, and it's like, if walks are your whole thing, when the walks dry up, what's left? You know what I mean? And then there have been a lot of questions about the defense on the left side of the infield, both between Bichette and Biggio. So it's a dicey issue because he's very a divisive feature, because a lot of folks, especially if you go on on Reddit, people love him on Reddit, which says a lot about that platform, to be honest. But at the same time, it's you know, you hope if you're a Blue Jays fan and you want you Biggio's an easy guy to root for. He has produced at the big league level, so the hope is that he'll find a way to get there again. He'll find a way to resume drawing those walks. He's drawn just two walks so far this season. They both came in the same game. Shrug, confirmation bias, some suggestion, shrug. But I don't know. He has a lot of value, but I definitely am kind of peering around the league and putting together fantastical trade packages in an attempt to upgrade there. Which, again, this was something, as you said, the George Springer transaction in particular did exactly that. The Blue Jays had three like decent outfielders last year, guys that were good at lots of things, not great at others. The Blue Jays were like, we need someone who's actually good at all of these things. Here comes George Springer. We'll figure out the rest. So while Springer had a setback and isn't not probably going to be quite ready to step back into the lineup, the Biggio thing is... It's tough, but it would be nice to have someone maybe better than him playing third base every day.
Sure. It's entirely your fault. Is the part you're missing. Confirmation bias. Correlation is causation here. No, I think, and to your point, he's an easy guy to cheer for. And also, like, you know, at no point do I believe that he's not going to do, like, every possible thing he can to identify and address some weaknesses that we're seeing pop up, right? He's a, by all accounts... It'll be an obsession and a thing that he works very hard for, and I'm sure that he'll make improvements. They're just difficult things, you know. Hitting high velocity and suddenly being able to throw harder is tough. But I think there's a place for him somewhere. Just everyday third base is a totally different beast than being a pleasant surprise at second. So I still have faith that there's a thing that's going to turn here, but you know it's the short term. Like, I certainly don't think you should be batting second when I'm said and done this whole spiel about believing in him. Ideally not the number two hitter, with or without Springer.
I think of him more as like a table setter, the bottom of the order. Like, time to turn the lineup around, surprise. Boys.
Absolutely. A tough out hitting, if he's your tough out hitting eighth or ninth, like, you're in good shape, right? That's sort of the idea of it.
If he's hitting eighth in the National League, he's walking like 20% of the time.
Yeah.
If he's got the pitcher behind him, like, he's not going to, you know, they just walk him. And then go after the pitcher every single time. But we don't need to bury Kevin Biggio anymore. I'm sure he's kicking himself after having a bit of a slow start. But I guess, you know, when you look forward, so we've talked a little bit about the young guys, and while you famously tweeted that prospects are for poor people, the Blue Jays are in pretty good space when it comes to that stuff, in that I think that it's, where maybe let's qualify that statement, which is, say, prospects are for poor people. What the Blue Jays have right now is a group of young players who are as close to big league ready as anyone can be, which is not the same as being like, Aurelvis Martinez is going to be the all-star shortstop in 2025. It's more like Alek Manoah and Anthony Kay and Thomas Hatch, and these guys seem poised to make an impact at the big league level, which is not a bad place to be, rich or poor.
I'm a Manoah truther. We're on the Manoah's the real ace. Manoah's the one that's coming up in the middle of the season and changing everything. I'm big on Manoah. And listen, the Jays were poor for a little bit. Prospects were poor people, and the Jays were poor for the last couple of years, and they got their prospects. So you sort of have to make your oats. I think they're also positioned in a place, and we don't want to make everything back to trade rumors, but like, they have so many that it's like, they have the ability to move off some of these if they absolutely think that there's a deal out there that pushes them over the line. If that materializes or not, they sort of have the war chest of guys that you can point to somebody who's further away than most and be like, this is our guy that doesn't come back to bite us until 2024. And in the meantime, gives us 3 solid years in return. That part excites me because I'm a trade monger. I'm a trade maniac. It's sickening. So I already have. You have to bring me back on when we're figuring out what the trade is, what the third base trade is, because I already have 2 or 3 cooked up.
You do, but and I wonder, you know, dealing from a position of strength, if I'm thinking about transactions, which you and I are prone to do, you obviously in particular,
always,
but always thinking transactions. But when I think about dealing from a position of strength, I think the Blue Jays pitching, they have strength and they have depth, but I also think that that's baked into the plan at the big league level. And I think we've seen that this week. It was great to see Hyunjin Ryu go so deep here on Wednesday, but that's going to be the exception rather than the rule in terms of how all of their starters are used. So cycling through these guys and these players, these Alek Manoahs and Anthony Kays and hopefully Nate Pearson and Robbie Ray, you know, none of these guys are going to be huge inning guys. So I would be personally reluctant to deal from the pitching depth as opposed to maybe some of that middle infielder-ish corner infielder depth. If I'm looking to make a transaction, I am thinking that's more likely where it's going to come from.
I think that's totally reasonable. And there's a bunch of those guys that if you think it's all the same, basically, and there's maybe you're higher on Woods or maybe you're higher on Kay or whoever it may be, you do have that luxury of a bunch of guys sort of sitting around that same level. It's sort of funny to think of that pitching as both a strength and sort of a easily identifiable upgradable weakness in the short term as well.
Yeah, I mean, weakness is relative. And this is something, if you listen to this show before, or you and I have probably talked about it, where the Blue Jays have a lot of pitching strength, but it isn't in like a 2019 Washington Nationals or even like a Dodgers where it's just 4 200 inning guys ready to go out there and shove on any given day, you know, pitching into the 6th, 7th, 8th inning versus just waves of guys who are all not the same, but just, oh, here's another guy that throws 97. Here's another guy that throws 97. This guy throws 97, but it's got a lot of sink. This guy throws 97 at the letters all day long. Like they've really changed the makeup. It's not as, you know, they've started to do what everybody in baseball is doing and kind of building up huge masses of big dick donkeys who throw hard as hell. And it's easy to get used to. You know, we talked about Julian Merriweather a little bit, and watching somebody pump 99 and 100 straight past like some of the best hitters in the American League, it's kind of fun. You know, while baseball is not the most, you know, the best aesthetic place right now, when it's working, it looks pretty good.
The one I can't believe is Baraki. I don't know if I'll ever be able to get used to him just like effortlessly throwing 97 all of a sudden. I don't know how. I remember him when I was with Yahoo, we interviewed him. My friend and colleague Nick Ashburn interviewed him, and like the focus of the interview was like a real throwback Mark Burley guy who's not getting it done with velocity and like control and throwing 93 but moving it and bending it left and right. And like 2 years later, he's like, nah, never mind. Just blow it right past.
Yo, that just sucks. It's hard to live like that.
I'm just gonna get hurt anyway, work. So just forget it.
I'm gonna grab that sled. I'm gonna shove that sled around my ranch all winter long. I'm gonna squat a BMW, and I'm gonna come back to camp and just pump 98. You can, I think of a worse plan. I can absolutely think of a worse plan than that. But it is. I guess it's telling in a way that like, if you're not Hyunjin Ryu, the margin for error is so thin that the everything, you know, history bends to justice. I don't know. Velocity wins. It's always going to win. But the Blue Jays have the inside track right now, as opposed to before when we would be like, it's fine. They can find guys that can pitch. They're real pitchers. They're going to teach them how to pitch. And now it's like, just throw it right through the catcher. It's all the way through to the backstop. I'm good. Speaking of aesthetics, I want to ask you about Alejandro Kirk.
Sure.
Obviously, speaking of easy to love, and seeing when the vibes are on the Blue Jays, he kind of ticks all those boxes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Only the only real athlete on earth, Alejandro Kirk. I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled. You know, it hasn't been, my friend Eric calmed me down today with a very reasonable, like, don't think about how the trouble he's had in his last three games, right? Think about the good stuff he did last year in six games. That's sort of the...
That's twice as many. Good.
It's a way bigger sample size. But to your point earlier, he was a guy that, I mean, it surprised me in a vacuum that he made the team out of camp, but I do love that as like, listen, right away, he's a better chance, we think, for winning games. And I think a year ago, 2 years ago, they would have started this season with Maguire and been like, somebody will get hurt eventually and we'll figure this out. They would have punted that decision down the line, and they were like, very quickly, like, we can find Reece Maguire. We can find a backup catcher if we need to. If everything goes wrong here and Kirk isn't so great. It's a classic spot of the pitchers in spring raving about throwing to the backup catcher. It's like it's an absolute rule. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and be like, I know how to measure catcher framing, because I have no clue. I just know I like watching him roll around the bases like a boulder. And he's just like everything I need in a ball player that shows up out of your life out of nowhere. And I have to give credit to Jesse Goldberg Strassler, who was the voice of the Lansing Lugnuts, for tipping me off on Alejandro Kirk. I had him on the podcast, and he was like, this will be the not just your favorite player, like he'll be the guy that you are thinking about a decade from now. And he was absolutely right. So yeah, he's vibes incarnate, and just one of the very few athletes that I follow on Instagram, because I can't get enough.
That's high praise. That's high praise, because I can't tell you that there's no... oftentimes, that is a losing proposition. Absolutely. You find out weird things that you don't want to know, or you find out nothing other than, like, maybe this guy drinks a lot too much. Those are some of the things I think when I'm following certain athletes on Instagram. But I will say that two things I would say is that at the risk of being like a stooge, I am pleasantly surprised by how Alejandro Kirk moves around behind the plate. I think he looks pretty good. I don't know what I expected. He boxed one up the other day, but like, whatever. I'm not about to speak to his game call. And game calling is to me the blackest box that there's no way in. The other stuff, the presentation, the receiving, even the throwing. I loved watching Reece Maguire. I think Kirk looks good, but the game calling, I have no idea. So, you know, as Kirk gets more reps back there, we'll get a better sense of how he's framing and how his presentation is behind the plate. But the one thing I was worried about, they showed a shot of him at the very beginning of spring training. He looked great. There was some talk, I can't remember who was talking about, they sent like a dietitian or a nutrition specialist down to Mexico to work with Alejandro Kirk throughout the winter to improve his diet, to improve his fitness levels. And he, you know, lost a lot of weight, not as much maybe as Vlad, but lost a lot of weight, looked great. And I was like, well, what the fuck? This is not what I signed up for.
Right.
Like,
yeah, let's not cut all these guys down to, some of them need to be, you know, real tuna cans. We need to have some tuna cans. Come on.
He is. But also, even though Alejandro Kirk looks great and is, and by all reports feels great and is moving around great, he still looks exactly like a meatball wearing catcher's equipment. So it's a win-win. It is absolutely a win-win. The body's hype is what it is, and there's only so much you can do to change that, thankfully. More Spin Rate coming up right after these words from our sponsors.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie? Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
If you're as obsessed with basketball as I am, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Hey guys, this is JJ Redick. Twice a week, I'm cooking up something special for basketball junkies on my podcast, The Old Man and the Three. I bring on guests in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, like Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, or Paulo Banchero on his shooting workouts with Kevin Durant, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron when they were teammates in Miami. But it's not just about the player interviews. Every Monday, I break down the top three things happening around the NBA without the outlandish takes. Often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler, we dive deep into topics like rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is meme mugging now a tech? The Old Man of the Three is the only companion podcast you'll need during the playoffs this year. Be sure to listen to The Old Man of the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is there anything you wanted to talk about? I was going to let you go, though.
I want to do a quick Teoscar Hernandez check-in because the opposite of you're sort of the opposite of the Biggio pilled, right? Is you sort of you caught me in a place where I was like, do I love Teoscar Hernandez? And you were like, yeah, you do. And I was like, thank you, Drew. And of course, you know, I've maintained he's the only player in the league whose 2020 stats are real. Your early read on our everyday cleanup hitter.
Teoscar Hernandez is 100% made of Teflon in my eyes. Like, none of the bad stuff sticks to Teoscar Hernandez. He's out there in the outfield kicking it around. Don't care. Hilarious. At the plate, he's hitting home runs. Nothing else really matters. He's striking out. He doesn't look well. He looks like he's always looked. I'm like, that's awesome. He is what he is, and I'm all for it. Because he is vibes. He is just looks like he's having a great time. He and the fellas always chopping it up in the dugout. Buck Martinez went on like an extended piece about them sitting at the back of the class because they always sit at the far end of the dugout and they almost got beamed. Somebody hit a foul ball over in their way. And just one of those, just, you know, a couple seconds of grab ass there on TV. I can't get enough. I think Teoscar Hernandez is great. One thing I've said before is, and I'll continue to say, which is, you guys are allowed to have a career season. Teoscar Hernandez may benefit from the fact that his career season was like 50 games long. So it will live longer in the memory than a 50-game chunk in an otherwise kind of Teoscar Hernandez-shaped season. But he looked great. His tools are fun. He does, you know, the things that he does are to me enjoyable. He is someone who you could upgrade, and the Blue Jays obviously felt that way, I think, by signing George Springer and making a big splash that way. It was really, really interesting. I want to see what you think about this. The last game in New York when the Blue Jays were protecting a lead and they went to solidify the outfield defense at Yankee Stadium, which of course has a very large alley in left center. They took Lourdes Gurriel, sent him to the bench, put Jonathan Davis in center, moved Teoscar to left and Randall Grichuk to right, which was like, how do you feel, Lourdes Gurriel Jr.? You've just been just absolutely lit up by manager Charlie Montoyo.
Yeah, and the arm's not going to save you here. Sort of conversation. No, I'm glad you say all that because don't forget, Teoscar also has 94th percentile speed.
That's forget. True. He does
beating that ball down the first baseline. Yeah, I guess Gurriel's another guy. I find myself watching him, and I, at the risk of being like a typical baseball color commentator, every time I see him, I'm like, the guy can just flat out hit. There's no real recipe to it. The guy can just hit. What can you do?
There's no problem with saying that, and I've grown into that. And I think that being terminally online for the better part of a decade now, a much better part of a decade, I've kind of, you know, come and gone in terms of those things where maybe 15 years ago or 13 years ago or whatever, I would have been killing myself for Kevin Biggio. I think about Fred Lewis, right? One of the big things with Fred Lewis before the Blue Jays acquired him, I wrote a blog post, was like, they should get him because he was kind of out of options and out of luck in San Francisco. And then the Blue Jays did acquire him. And I strut around for like 2 weeks. Like I was the fucking GM. Like, yeah, that's right. I said, get him. And then they did, because Fred Lewis could walk. He had a 10% walk rate. So I was like, oh, that's a good thing to have. Of course, Fred Lewis, you know, was out of baseball not even that long after that, where now I see Lourdes Gurriel Jr. I don't sweat it as much. Same with even Bo Bichette, right? Neither of those guys are ever going to walk. They don't walk. The Blue Jays as a team don't walk. But Bichette and to the same similar extent, Gurriel, they can hit. Like there's no, when you talk about that, you talk about their hit tool, you talk about the ability to put the fucking bat on the ball, they can do it. They do it in spades. They do it in ways that are effective, ways that might seem a little bit lucky. So when Gurriel is struggling, I'm like, he can hit, and the hits come in bunches. And there'll be times where he gets himself out, and there'll be times where people can realize they can throw it in the other batter's box and it won't matter. But then there are times where you can try and throw it in the other batter's box and he's going to reach and he's going to hit it into the right field alley, or he's going to somehow pull a ball thrown on the other side of the plate down the left field line, because he can hit. So I got time for guys like that now, because that's hard to do. It's easy to go up there and be like, just please walk me, and then have them do it. Because when the pitcher's up in their own head, but guys that can hit, you know, they can hit until they prove they can't. And then same thing with Kirk, where maybe Alejandro Kirk's got a short lifespan and shelf life as a big league player. Maybe Gurriel too. It's hard to do if you can't kind of find both, but I got lots of time and I have patience with guys who have demonstrated an ability to just straight up hit, and not just like, oh, they got a high batting average on balls in play, and they dinked and dunked their way to like a 298 season. And you're like, oh, he's a hitter. You know, your dad would be like, oh, he's a great hitter. Or my dad, boy, that guy can hit because he's got a high average. I'm like, meh, I'm not so worried about that. But Gurriel hits the ball for power when he hits it. So I got time for him. He's not my favorite player. He's the worst outfielder. I cover my eyes every time the ball is hit to left field, but I'm fine. I'm fine. He gets my I'm fine rating.
Yeah, I think I'm glad you sort of said it the way you did, because I find myself on that same track where you watch it enough, and you don't want to do the eye test thing, but you watch enough, you're just like, you know what? He's hard to pitch to. It's just like it's sort of that easy. Is he gets those balls down and away, and he just sort of flicks it into open space. You're like, you know what? That's really impressive. I think there's not a lot else for me to really get to. I think Robbie Ray is going to be good. That's my big closing argument.
I'm excited to see when Ray comes back, and if they do make moves for Kay, Manoa, even Simeon Woods Richardson, which maybe feels a little bit unlikely at this point. But it's only going to get better and a little bit, it's only going to get better and a little bit more fun to watch, because cheering for young players is generally fun, and especially when they come in and they do fun young player stuff, and Blue Jays have a lot of energy and good vibes, like we said. So if you're a Blue Jays fan, I assume you are listening to this, then you should probably be having yourself a pretty good summer, I would say.
Yeah, I can't wait. I absolutely can't wait.
Mr. Andrew Zuber, why don't you tell the people where they can find you? We mentioned it off the top, but you can mention it now as well with more confidence, more definitively than I said it.
Oh, boy. I got a whole bunch of stuff in the hopper. Sportsfeld, of course, the flagship show, comes out every Thursday morning. Jake and I talking about all kinds of stuff that we are very baseball-focused, because the Raptors is just not worth talking about. And we sort of lost touch with what's happening with the Leafs. So it is extremely heavily Blue Jays focused. On top of that, I do a show on the Sportsfeld Patreon called Blue Monday. It's just me talking with the Jays for an hour every Monday morning. And then Sunday, I've been trying out a live YouTube postgame show. I'm trying to build the people's postgame show where they can call in on a Zoom and talk to me about the Blue Jays live on YouTube. Still trying to figure that one out, but it'll be Sunday's postgame. And of course, for the enlightened ones out there, Wrestling Brain, Wednesdays at 10 p.m. Wrestling Brain.
What kind of wrestling do you talk about on Wrestling Brain? Is it all like 4 o'clock in the morning Japanese wrestling, or is it everything?
My co-host Josh is the four o'clock in the morning Japanese, because he lives in BC. So it's 1 o'clock in the morning Japanese wrestling for him. So it's
not much better.
It's much easier to digest. We do AEW Dynamite, which comes on Wednesdays. We sort of have staked our claim there as sort of it's a new show, and we're a new show. And it's a ton of fun. It's also a call-in show. If you want to talk about a depth of the internet that you may not know existed, we have an army of guys that call in to talk about professional wrestling live on twitch.tv/wrestlingbrain.
If ever there was a CIA watch list in the making, it's that right there. I love talking to you, Andrew Zuber, and I am thankful for you taking the time to join us for nothing, just for kicks, just for coming on. So enjoy the brain. Enjoy the season, and we will keep our ridiculous trade proposals to the DMs until they come true. Then it'll be Screenshot City on the timeline.
Thank you so much, Drew. I truly touched that you would think of me to be a part of the show, and I'll be happy to come back anytime.
Awesome. All right. So thank you to Andrew for joining us. Thanks, everybody, for listening. As we do mention and should mention, if you haven't subscribed to the show, I think you should at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts, you can subscribe to Spin Rate. If you haven't subscribed to The Athletic, I think you should do that at theathletic.com/spinrate. Sign up, read everything that Caitlin writes, read everything that Keith Law writes, that Jason Stark writes, Ken Rosenthal, got every aspect, every angle covered. Do it and let them know that you're listening to us. And then we can keep doing this so that the Zoobs and I can come on and talk about vibes and butterball and meatballs wearing catcher's equipment, because that's really what we're trying to do here. So again, thanks to everybody for listening. Caitlin and I will be back on the weekend. And thanks to Andrew for dropping in. We'll talk to you next time on Spin Rate.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.